and welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
Ahoy, ahoy, I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we're back to talk part two of 1980s Alligator.
Sound like you forgot there for a second.
Well, you know, it all blends together. But yeah, Alligator, 1980, Robert Forster.
Yeah.
A name I can't get right. And we are going to talk more on Jaws. See, I can't get it right. We're going to talk more on the Jaws Minute, Real Jaws Minute, about Alligator. And this is the second time we're talking about it.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Okay, cool. Then we get the nurse and his nurse and the reporter just chatting it up. No patient confidentiality. Oh, yeah.
Small town. And this is something I would do, and I love, this is a movie
and it
trope.
Has my favorite line. She says the word meds.
Yeah.
And he goes, "What are meds?" And she goes, "Medication." I'm like, "What?"
That's a reporter, by the way.
That's a reporter asking that pertinent question.
Are we to believe that the movie Alligator introduced the term meds into the
lexicon? Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Try to find an older example.
I have
example.
It underlined in my notes. What are meds?
What are meds?
Yeah.
My note from
I was like, "Oh, how did you crack that code, Sherlock?" Like,
this guy's on it.
Yeah. I'm like, this is the worst reporter I've ever seen ever.
I love the way the scene ends just cuz it's this is one of the scenes where it verges on the territory of Piranha, where she says, he said, you know, something about alligators in the sewers, and then the camera pushes in on him real tight and he goes, "Alligators in the sewers?" And he like stares up into space and then it cuts. And then it cuts
to him walking in the sewers.
Walking in the sewers.
Yeah. And alligators? Sewers?
And as goofy as that is,
bum, bum, bum.
As goofy as that is, I love that efficiency of storytelling where it's, you just cut to
him in the sewers.
In the sewers. Like,
so let's talk about that.
His scene in the sewers?
Yes.
Yeah.
The reporter, this guy is an ace reporter. Let me tell you. He takes pictures of a boot.
Yep.
A dead dog.
Yep.
And a shopping cart.
Yes.
Stop the presses.
After.
I got the shopping cart photo, Chief.
And did you notice he rigged the photo?
Yes. I just got to get that license plate shopping cart thing just right.
Maybe he's one of the reporters who like tries to sell his pictures to Life magazine when he's all done or something. But yeah, he went down there and he's taking pictures of shopping carts.
And the license plate.
And the license plate. Then we get another.
What state is on the license plate?
I don't remember, but I do.
It's not Illinois.
It's, what is it? Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, or perfect. No. California?
No. What state are we in again? Missouri. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? Yep. Yep. See.
Evidence again.
Tyson is smarter than the internet.
Yes. Don't you forget it. And I'm humble too.
Put it in the plot description of the podcast that this movie takes place in Chicago, strike through Missouri, or Illinois, strike Missouri.
So the Jaws 2 camera strikes again.
Uh-oh. It's a little more obvious, though, than Jaws 2. I remember you couldn't figure out what we were looking at. Neither could the characters in the movie. But in this movie...
No, I'm just saying about a camera that just continues to take pictures after its owner has demised.
Yeah.
Or demised. Excuse me.
Sentient cameras are apparently a plot point.
A plot point, in these monster movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question about the next scene where Madison's reading the book. What book has a picture?
Oh, wait, we're skipping too far.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we get the developing of the pictures, right?
And we get is the next shot right after the reporter gets eaten. Madison's reading the book he got from the herpetologist.
Oh yeah.
And there's a picture in there of an alligator eating a dog.
Yes.
And which is cool, but this is right out of Jaws. Like, hey, let's show what this alligator can do in a book. Even though it's after what we've seen the alligator can do. I just think it's funny they show alligator eating a dog, and then you cut to...
Which is funny because we actually have never seen the alligator eat a dog.
And then you cut to Madison's dog eating his dinner.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, I just found it all amusing.
Yeah, that's very good. But yeah, it's very much Jaws looking at the shark book, you know, in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently, and he doesn't realize this till he gets to the end, is she wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Anyway, we get the pictures being developed, and he goes, don't worry. He's like, he'll get what he wanted. He'll make the front page.
Bum, bum.
And then we cut to the front page.
And he got it.
And local reporter takes pics
of his own killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, movie, I love you.
Yeah. And yeah, so then now we get the SWAT guys rolling in. It's his big, it's Madison's it's his
the
big.
SWAT, the Madison, Wisconsin, or the David Madison. That's why we're so confused about geography in this movie. The character's name is Madison.
Which we're thinking Wisconsin. it's Springfield, Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very confusing. Oh, wait.
Also, apparently they have all these SWAT guys in khaki.
Before we get to that, we're going to spend a lot of airtime on this stupid where does this movie take place thing. He's looking at a map. Granada Hills is on the map. Where is Granada Hills? Let's waste more airtime. I will stop doing this, I promise. Granada Hills.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Is in the San Fernando Valley portion of Los Angeles, California. So the map in the movie, they didn't even bother to go out and get a map of where the movie is ostensibly taking place. They just went and got a map. And of course, it was a California map. Okay, let's move on. The SWAT team.
Granada.
Right? Granada. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I should know that. I lived down there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, SWAT guys in khaki.
Yeah.
They all look like federales to me.
Yeah. They went down to the Army Surplus store.
Mexico?
Yeah. Well, all these actors, too. I mean.
They're all very.
They're Mexican.
They're all Spanish
looking. Yeah,
yeah. Or Latino looking.
Yeah, they went down to the Home Depot and.
I guess.
Paid some guys.
Yeah.
All the guys standing up front looking for a day's work.
It's very odd.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. And the guys are like wearing like ammo belts, some of them.
Yeah, they're like got bandoliers. Like, and
Rambo style here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
get bazookas.
A bazooka. I have that in caps. A bazooka?
What SWAT team is this?
A bazooka.
That is straight up Hollywood prop department.
That crap. Is so 1980s. It's not even funny.
I feel like it's even a little
or maybe
early,
it is,
right?
Or maybe like, it is funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these guys are all setting up. My next note is, so then the alligator's name is Ramon, right? Mm-hmm. So then in his apartment, in the background, he has posters by an artist named Ramon.
There's a story there. It's a Robert.
And they're all booby posters.
Oh, that I didn't even notice, actually.
Which will tie into something later.
Okay.
So I'm not just a lech. I'm also.
I think I might know what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
I'll wait till we get there. The name comes about because when Robert Forster joined the production, those pieces of artwork hanging on there are his personal pieces of artwork.
Okay.
That he just thought he asked the artist, like, hey, can I throw your stuff as set decoration in my movie? And he said yes. And that also led to the suggestion that they name the alligator Ramon in the script.
Nice.
Because of Robert Forster just
great
basically giving props to his artist buddy. So there you go.
So that would mean that all of Robert's stuff and apartment scenes would have been filmed before the little girl kind of setup scenes.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
That would probably have been later shooting stuff.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm also just going to throw out, we see the SWAT team planning their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've got this all worked out in my head, the map they're looking at is clearly a map of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, it's obviously the, I mean, there's so much of the LA River
in why here. Why not just have it take place in LA?
I don't know why not.
You're just adding like unnecessary, like maybe because it starts off in Florida, they just thought driving from Florida to LA is too far.
It's too far.
But Chicago's okay. Anyway.
But not Chicago. It doesn't take place in
or
Chicago.
Or even St. Louis.
Stop saying Chicago.
Let's start that over again. Anyway, why not just have it take place
in LA? It doesn't take place in Chicago.
Why not just have it take place in LA?
Yeah. I don't know. Because it's so obviously LA, right?
Let's get John Sayles on our podcast as a guest. He can talk about piranha and alligator.
Oh, I'd love that. Probably talk to him about
it. We're just going
to
drill him on these, the things we have brought.
Why?
He's like, because it was a paycheck? That's going to be his answer.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want to talk about Lone Star or something really cool I made?
I suppose if we're going to have him on as a guest, I should watch some of his other movies.
Yeah. Lone Star is amazing.
Didn't we mention this on the Piranha episode?
There's one called, God, I can't think of it. With Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Passion Fish, Lone Star, Men with Guns, Return of the
Cicacious Seven. Yeah. I've seen a lot of his films.
Yeah.
There's one called
Baby, It's You, Brother from Another Planet, Eight Men Out, City of Hope,
Passion Fish. Oh, Eight Men Out. That's a great one, too. Yeah.
Passion Fish, The Secret of Roan Inish, Lone Star, Men with Guns, Limbo, Sunshine State.
Limbo, that's what I'm thinking of. Limbo's an awesome film.
I didn't realize Piranha was his first script. Alligator was his third. Yeah. Lady in Red, which cameos Robert Forster, was his second.
There you go.
All right.
So then, the mayor shows up to wade
in
through
the sewer scene.
To wade through the river.
Let's go walk in some poop.
Yeah, which I love that. Like, so there. Also, everybody in this movie would have at least hepatitis. Like, right?
Well, some of them are wearing hip waders, but most of them aren't.
But almost all of them put their hands to like brace themselves in the water, right? Or they fall in the water, or there's just so many. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they like added the water to this scene in LA, you know, when they were shooting it in LA, if like they added the water as an effect, or if they just went down there and shot in.
Well, I think they're probably just in the LA River when they're outside this kind of hole. And that's probably just the water that's there.
Yeah.
I feel like all the sewers, I would like to talk to you about this. All the sewer scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a set.
I think you're right. I think with a couple of exceptions where it's a really big shot of a long
expanse, tunnel or something.
Yes, I'm sure they built like a couple of fake brick walls. And
but like the tunnel where Guttrell like kind of goes down.
I think that's a set.
I think that's all a set because they just used that over and over and over.
Yes.
And I feel like they had that and then like two other tunnels and they just used them in a very.
Oh, yeah. Change the lighting, change the angle.
Yeah. Use them in a really.
It feels like it's all those sewage scenes feel like they take place in about the same like 30-foot stretch.
Yeah. Like you just had a warehouse somewhere that you just kind of built this thing and then ran some water through it and then like boom.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle. So.
So at this point in the movie, we get into the alligator Ramon.
Yeah. So they're going to loud him out.
Oh, with the noise? Oh, with the SWAT team. Yeah.
They're going to loud him out of the sewer.
And the reason they don't get him is because he's already left that area of the sewer, allegedly. But the way their strategy to get him out just implies that, like, the sewer is, like, there's a way in and a way out. And there's no other way he could go anywhere. But at this point in the movie is where we cut to him. Like, apparently he's, like, way off somewhere else in the city.
I feel like he is there and then he just doesn't go. I feel like he just goes somewhere else. Like he just doesn't even like do what they are planning him to do.
Well, and they have also already established that he can submerge under, there's waters deep enough there that he can go chill out somewhere deep. So I don't know what their plan was.
So I'm not sure why clanging.
Why they were so baffled they didn't get him.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Because it seems like he could just submerge himself. They'd walk by.
Yeah.
And then he would just unsubmerge and.
Yep.
Right?
Why they didn't catch him.
Now, what I don't understand is what makes him crack through a street and sidewalk.
Because it looks cool.
I guess.
Before we get to that, it's.
Oh, do you want to talk about the stickball kids?
Well, that whole scene.
And how one of them is 30 years old?
Yes. That's fine. Somebody's dad. Whatever.
He's not old enough to be the kid's dad.
So not only.
He's too old to be playing stickball.
So not only did he bust through the street, but he did it right after Robert Forrester.
Forster.
I'm just going to start calling Madison. Just drove past. So now we're getting into like the massive coincidences of where the alligator finds himself.
Yes.
Which kind of a couple times now from here to the end of the movie. So massive coincidence that Madison and Chief just literally passed over his head 30 seconds
before. Alligator's motivations from here on out is because movie.
Because, yes. He's not pursuing anybody yet.
Yeah.
Yet he finds himself instantly in the company of Madison and the chemical people. But yes. I'm jumping way ahead.
Yeah.
But
there's so many different effects here in this. This is really the first time we really get to see the gator in a really great way.
And it looks awesome.
This whole sequence is fantastic.
Yeah.
The gator looks so good. And then I had a question. The top down shot. Is that stop motion?
I think it's. I looked at that shot a few times. I think that it's a forced perspective shot where the cars are like an. Like they took a picture of an alley from the top of a building. And then they took that shot and like cut the street view out of it. And then they put that as an optical plate over the alligator. So you have like a photograph of real cars right up by the camera, and then they're shooting the baby alligator walking, you know, 4 feet away from the camera.
Oh, wow.
So that's my belief. And I like to pride myself on figuring out how these things are done.
It looks fantastic.
It does. And only because you rewatch it, you can rewatch it and you can kind of tell that the cars are not in the shot with the alligator. They're not there with the alligator and that they're a photo. So it's either it's some kind of optical process shot that gives the alligator some scale that makes it look as big as the cars.
Well, I just love it.
Yeah. Also, because movie.
A lot of this forced perspective stuff really works.
Really works. A lot of the shots of the kids running away with this little alligator snout right in the foreground. Mm-hmm. Also, because movie, a cop comes screaming around the corner.
And then just.
With sirens blaring and just totals his car.
Because the kids are in the road?
Yeah. That's definitely because movie.
Like, yeah. And then gets eaten by the alligator.
Like, that was going to happen whether the alligator was there or not. Like, there were kids in the street.
Yeah. This guy was going to blow up his cop car regardless of alligator.
Yeah. Alligator actually saved the kids' lives.
I think so.
Which is why that cop is a jerk and gets eaten by the alligator.
Yes. I love Bread Knife Kid.
Oh, I'm a pepper... Two kid?
Yeah.
Yes. He has lots of great lines. I love that he's wearing a shirt that says, I'm a pepper too.
Yeah. My favorite is, he's like, no, El Dorado the refrigerator. I was like, this kid rocks.
Yeah. Well, even before that, there's a great line. I guess it's not his line, but his mom's line. Where he's running and screaming around the apartment.
Mom was drinking Schlitz.
And mom goes... The kids are outside playing alligator.
Playing alligator. That's a great line.
Mom, it's the alligator. It's the alligator. The kids are outside playing alligator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Marcy. They're outside playing alligator again. Because he's just ham-boned. Like, just.
And I kind of wish that something happened with this kid.
For a second, I thought she was drinking Narragansett, and then I...
Oh, that would be perfect.
And then I looked, and I'm like, oh, nope, it's Schlitz. And then that was confirmed, because Schlitz is thanked in the credits. So.
Oh.
I don't even know if Schlitz exists anymore. But
does I somebody's got to own the name at least.
Yeah. And then we get also I call them bread knife kid. Mom says he ran off with the bread knife. It's not. It's a chef's knife.
Yeah, it's a giant chef's knife.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Halloween-esque chef's knife, you know. And then we get Colonel Brock.
Oh, yeah. Henry Silva.
Another great character actor.
Yeah, from I always know him from Manchurian Candidate. That's where I know him the best.
Yeah, the one where he really is seared into my brain is Dick Tracy.
Oh, really? He's in that?
Yeah, he's one of the guys in Dick Tracy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because
it's funny because even without makeup, I think he has a real Dick Tracy face.
It's so weird that you brought that movie up because earlier
I think that is an unsung movie.
I love that movie.
That movie's so good.
So good. Mainly because it's like it's made for me and you. It's mm-hmm. full of like movie tricks and I think Vittorio Storaro's the cinematographer.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. And then it's just fun.
I could do a Dick Tracy minute, man.
Oh, I might. Let's talk about it. it's funny because, okay.
I feel like all we do in every season 2 episode is talk about some movie that might do as a minute.
So, anyway, I just got to get this off my chest.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
funny
that you mentioned Dick Tracy because you were talking about how you need to interrupt because otherwise you get off topic.
Sure.
And then you were going, what was it? What was
I get off topic, just like straight up forget.
And because I have no original thoughts and every word that comes out of my mouth is a movie line. Uh-huh. As you were saying that, you know what popped into my head?
Yeah.
Al Pacino in Dick Tracy going, I had a thought. It's gone. It's just so funny. Yeah. Second time Dick Tracy's come up tonight the first time I didn't. I'm constantly holding back about, like,
do you know what I have, say that right now. There's a part of my brain that has, I can't even remember the Al Pacino character's name. Is it Muggsy? Muggsy Malone? Is that right?
In Dick Tracy?
Yeah.
No, it's,
Big Boss. Big Boss Caprice.
Big Boy.
Big Boy Caprice.
Big Boy Caprice, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I have a thing in where Big Boy Caprice, he's got this thing where he's like, I want Dick Tracy. I want him dead. Yeah. Da, 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 da. And I have him. It's like they're almost recited the same way. And I don't even know if it's on purpose. This is so off subject. there's the Untouchables where De Niro is like, I want Ness dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
I want to go over there and I want to piss on the ashes. You know, and I feel like Big Boy does almost the exact same little rant on with like the same like cadence and those things like, I want Dick Tracy dead. Yeah. I want his house burnt to the ground. And I don't even think it's the same lines or anything, but those two things like have mishmashed in my brain.
It's. I think you're right because I think I saw those two movies right around the same time.
Yeah, and then, right. Well, they would have been right around the same time. Mm-hmm. I think one's 89, one's 90. Like,
Untouchables is 87.
87?
Yep.
Okay, but they're within a few years of each other.
Dick Tracy was 90.
90, yeah, so.
These movies are burned into my brain, and if we do a Dick Tracy minute, I will tell the story again. When I saw Dick Tracy in the theater, that was in the period of my life where, as if when I went to a movie in the theater, I walked out of that theater going, "That's my favorite movie I've ever seen," and I had that with Dick Tracy, and I took the Dick Tracy logo that mm-hmm. you know it's like a silhouette of his head and yellow circle that was prominent in the marketing for that movie. I took that to school, where we had an overhead projector. I went down to the art room and I pulled a big, like 4 foot wide sheet of white paper. And so I had this 4 foot by 4 foot or 5 foot by 5 foot sheet of white paper.
Uh-huh.
And I put the logo on the overhead projector and I traced it.
Nice.
And then I took it home and like drew it all out with big like Sharpies and markers. And I had a giant Dick Tracy logo.
That's awesome.
In my bedroom when I would have been 11 years old. Because I love that movie so much. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a common bond in Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
I don't think we even knew that.
I don't even think we knew that. Yeah. I don't feel like there's many of us out there. but God, I loved that movie.
How long has it been since you've seen it?
It's been a while, but I'd say every few years I rewatch that one. It's certainly been longer than...
It's a comforting movie.
It's a very good movie. And it just before we get on to the matter at hand, Alligator, I just want to say, beep-a-deep, boop-a-deep, beep-a-deep, beep-a-deep, boop-a-deep, beep-a-deep. Yeah, anyway, all right.
For all if you've seen Dick Tracy, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yep. Beep-a-deep, boop-a-deep. Ooh, that water looks really good, doesn't it? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, what a time to live in where you can see a movie with Dustin Hoffman just going.
What a time to be alive. He's so good in it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Is there pound for pound? Is what other movie has a cast like
that? Well, I think that's their first time ever back together since Ishtar.
Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And have Al Pacino and Dustin Hoffman ever been in a movie together prior to that?
Yeah.
Or since.
And let's not forget about Breathless.
Madonna.
Oh, baby.
At the peak of her power.
Oh, her Vogue power.
Yeah, that was like out the same time as that album.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just, oh, like, boy. Whew.
Hand in hand.
She was just sex on a popsicle stick.
And that movie was for kids.
I know. Yeah.
Funny.
Where are we?
So they're interviewing the kid who says an El Dorado is a refrigerator. And then they go take the cast of the alligator foot.
Yes. And we get Colonel Brock, right?
And now we get Colonel Brock. Yes.
So, and then Brock just seems to hit on any woman in eyesight, right? It's the herpetologist and the LA reporter gal. Like, yeah.
His character is the most.
And then the gator noises. What a lovely scene. I feel like it's him just going, oh, yeah. You
know I what? Needed a shower after I saw that scene.
Oh, God. He's so gross and, like, awesome at the same time. I'm like, is this actually working? I'm like, I think he thinks it's working. And I'm like, I think it actually is working. And she's like.
I think she's a great reporter. She keeps him talking. But, yeah, it comes off like it's working.
Yeah. I also feel like she's a little bit into it. Like, yeah.
What a creep. Wait a minute. I'm kind of turned on.
Yeah, totally. Then we get, they're back in her lab and, she talks about how she thinks it might be, somatropin would be her guess.
As to why the alligator's getting big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was like, somatropin. I go, that sounds like a made up movie thing. It is real.
Oh, is it?
It's real.
Okay.
Somatropin is a human growth hormone.
All right. So, way to go, John Sayles. Did a little research.
Yeah. So, and then they have somatotropin.
Uh-huh.
Which is a bovine growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
So that ties into the calf that we see later. So, like, I mean, they're doing, they're talking about some, like, real science here.
And they drove by cows earlier.
Yeah.
They were,
So.
Science.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this movie is, despite having a scientist in it, is light on science.
It is very light on science.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't, so as a genre movie fan and, you know, watching tons of monster movies and stuff like that in the past, too many of those movies, it's just like a scientist and his assistant rambling on about, like, trying to convince the audience that this is plausible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, let's have fun.
So, yeah, I think Orca does that, like, with, oh, their brains are as big as humans and, their flippers have thumbs and before they're born and, you know, all this, like, science stuff. And it's like, okay, we get it, science lady.
Orca,
I don't feel like we get a lot of that in this movie, and I think in a good way.
It's moving the plot forward.
It gives you just enough to make it plausible, and then it's like, Okay, got right. it? Boom. Moving right. on. Yeah. I feel like almost every scene is like, you got the point of that scene? Good. Moving on. Like, yes. that's it's very good that way.
I have questions about the pacing and the editing of this movie. We'll save that for the end.
Okay. So then he gets fired. They yeah. finally, so this is the point where they finally put the fix in. So they go and question the Slade guy again.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on the calf.
And then the Slade guy calls in to the chief to have him fired, right?
Well, no. So the scientist guy tells Slade, his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then Slade calls
the mayor.
The mayor. The right. mayor calls the chief.
Right.
And that's what gets him fired.
Right. His chief, the chief seems to be like really on David's side.
But then at the same time, also like on the mayor's and Slade's side, right?
Well, it's basically as soon as Madison realizes that the mayor is invested in Slade,
mm-hmm.
as soon as he's getting too close to the mayor, that's when the mayor calls in the favor to have him fired. What I don't know if I totally get, because they don't really say it, they don't bother to explain it, is that the chief says, Madison, I need your badge.
Yeah.
But they never go into the...
But I also go, like, why now? Like, I would have done that. I would have done that the first time he questioned the guy, right?
To not draw attention to it?
I guess but so.
Yeah, that...
Also, I'm way overthinking yeah. the film.
I guess...
Well, by the even only, asking that question.
The only challenge so, I have with this whole scene is, why would the chief... If the mayor calls the chief and says, fire one of your cops, why? Because I said so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's about all we get.
Yeah. So I like that he gets fired. Every cop movie in the history of mankind, they would have a scene where he has to give him his gun and badge. His gun and badge, right? That's yeah. in literally every cop movie yeah. ever.
Yeah.
Not in this movie.
Nope.
This movie, he just wanders off down the hall. You're fired.
Yeah.
I'm going to wander off this way.
To the evidence
room. Please help yourself to the evidence room. No one will bother you.
Yeah. I actually think that that's probably more believable. And it also goes
I
to
like
this
that
like
it
small town cop.
I kind of like that it doesn't do that trope, though.
Yeah.
I know it's for plot convenience, but I also like it. So.
Well, it's almost like movies have convinced us that that's the way it's supposed to go. And when you see it not go that way, you're like, oh, this movie's not accurate. Like, no, this is probably more accurate.
Probably more accurate, yeah.
Especially if they're in a small town.
Yeah.
We keep saying Springfield is a small town. I know it's not that small of a town. But, like, the evidence room is just, like, stuff on shelves. It's not locked.
Yeah.
Or when they show local news, the local news is, like, the picture of the alligator is, like, a painting behind the reporter.
Yeah.
As silly as it looks, I'm just like, actually, that's probably... not that far off.
Yeah, because like, they're just using some sort of stock thing.
Yeah.
I hate it when, like, news things, like, have what is obviously, like, film footage from the film you're watching.
Oh.
Like, over...
edited film footage
over the shoulder of the newscaster. And I was like, okay, that's not...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he gets fired. He takes his liberties with the evidence room, which will pay off later.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and sees his Lady Herp.
The Herp.
And he does this little bit with some keys. He's like, I'm going to take his ass out or whatever he says. And he does this little, like, he's got his hands in his keys and, like, he hits them against his other hand.
Oh.
And it pops him up in the air and
pops
over
the keys.
Over his shoulder. And then with his opposite hand, he catches him behind him. And I was like, that's a fun little bit.
I want to learn to do it.
Yeah. It's cool.
Now, I don't think I noticed it.
Yeah.
She liked it.
She liked it. Yeah. I think this is the moment where she's like, I'm going to sleep with this guy.
Yep. He's got that key move.
Yeah. The key move, man.
In this, something I didn't point out in the previous sewer scene, and it's in the commentary that the director points out, is all these scenes with flashlights.
Uh-huh.
The cinematographer has all the flashlights rigged up with a filter on the lens, a filter on the light, so that it acts as a diffuser to light the actors' faces. So basically every flashlight has
Oh, so it's also bouncing light up into their face.
Bouncing light back at the actors.
Oh, that's great.
And that was how they got
I did not notice that.
And if you watch the scene, it looks perfect. Like, yeah. There's zero evidence. Like, I would have never guessed that that's a thing, but every light flashlight they're holding is lighting their face.
That's awesome.
Anyway, it was very cool.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
And shout out to the cinematography. I think all the underwater, all the sewage scenes look awesome. All the, like, they always have, like, water.
It's exactly as dark as it should be without being too dark.
Yeah.
Or lose. I mean, we're even watching a DVD quality, you know, copy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fantastic. It's.
I do dream of this movie getting a proper
Blu-ray. I feel like the cinematography in this film is really good.
Yeah, it is. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It has this weird, almost made for TV vibe about it. But I love that it's, I think the only reason I'm saying this is because it doesn't feel too over produced, right? Mm-hmm. It's not too stylized that it looks.
This, the way this movie looks, I feel like this is the cinematography in this film. It reminds me so much of Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's got a very Cundy look.
Dean Cundy, yeah. Yeah. A lot of slow, deliberate dollies and.
And just really rich blacks. And
yeah.
And then when you're in daylight, it's just got this, I don't know, kind of lovely late 70s, early 80s feel.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know. There's just something with the film stock then that just, I don't know, it looks great.
You're right. I think late 70s, early 80s is like the prime era of all film aesthetic, like the way it looks. Mm-hmm. I think part of that too is when you get into the 90s, you see this big prevalence of Super 35 taking over, which is practical, but I'm going way into movie nerd territory.
We're already there.
Okay. So, Super 35 is a way of shooting a movie where you shoot for various aspect ratios, including scope, where it's really wide, but you do it all by basically masking your film frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very flexible and diverse, you know, it works really well for a lot. Terminator 2, The Abyss, James Cameron is like the filmmaker who like turned it from like this.
Yeah.
It became like the new standard for the way movies were shot.
Sure.
For basically most of the 90s. Cause James Cameron shot that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what that format does, as flexible as it is, there's something about Super 35 that, like, I don't know. It doesn't look as gritty or as, I don't know. It just doesn't look as good to me as other movies. Like Terminator 2 looks so slick.
Mm-hmm.
That it almost looks like a was that movie shot in digital? Even though it was shot in 1991, it looks so slick.
Well,
whereas if you look at,
it's funny because some of our newest digital cameras now, like the Blackmagic camera that just came out, is a digital Super 35.
Right. So emulating that flexibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at Aliens, which was a movie he didn't shoot in Super 35, that movie looks like this movie.
Yeah.
It has that like raw 35 millimeter grain to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's one of my favorite look. That movie, if you look at Aliens on Blu-ray, like it's a little dirty and grimy.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it also like, I think it's gorgeous.
Oh
like,
yeah, it absolutely. Just looks, absolutely, yeah.
And and because it looks, it looks like film. That's why I love it. And this movie's kind of, I realize we only have the DVD to go off of, but I think it looks amazing.
No, it does look amazing. So then we're back down in the sewers with the sewer worker from earlier who knew Ed Norton.
Yep.
And she goes, there's a weird line in here. She goes, look for alligator
spores?
No, alligator nesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he goes, shoes, handbags, luggage, that sort of stuff. And she goes, yep. And I'm like, that's funny. Yeah. He just like names off all things like that would have alligator skin. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, that's, it's, and it's done so, nonchalantly that it almost doesn't register as a joke.
I think I totally missed it.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it.
But I noticed that I didn't notice it the first time. I noticed it the second time and I just died. I was like, that's pretty damn funny.
What I did notice from the scene is someone says, I found a shopping cart and like, hasn't there been like, isn't that like the one most common piece of set decoration in all of these sewer scenes is shopping carts everywhere.
And I believe it's the same shopping cart, just moved into different places.
We got a shopping cart and we're going to use it.
Yeah.
So
we get a shopping cart with rats on it. We get a shopping cart with a license plate on it. We get a shopping cart in a tube. We get a shopping cart. Yeah. Anyway, it's just, it's crazy.
So the scene where she finds the dog.
Yeah.
I never really got that. Like, is the dog like cocooned on the wall? Like, I don't get it. But then I realized when she pulls it out, it's like stuffed into a little water drainage pipe.
Yeah.
And that is actually true to something alligators do. They don't necessarily always finish their meal. They take it and like stuff it.
Oh, cool.
Into a hole, or they hide it because they want it to like get kind of.
And they'll eat it later.
Yeah. They want it to get kind of nasty.
Sure.
So the dog being stuffed into the pie, I'm like, oh, they do that.
Love it.
Yep.
Yeah. So then we're back in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, lots of boob in the apartment.
Oh.
A lot of Ramon boob in the background.
Well, you've taken a massive. Oh, wait. Sorry. No. I was going to say you jumped way far ahead, but.
Oh, did I?
We have. No. You're right. There's the apartment scene is cut into two.
Yeah.
The scene I want to talk the most about is in between. So
okay. We'll get that. So, not only that, we even get a little, kind of Eastern, Asian influenced, a statue that even has some bare boobs
in his apartment. Yeah. You said you wanted to talk about boob later. Is this what you,
this is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of
boobs.
There's a lot of boobs in his apartment. And, I think Robert, for whatever reason, decided that this guy's a boob guy.
Well, he is. He says it later, right?
And then he says it when he's making up. We're getting ahead, but he's like, I'll pay off that.
Okay,
later.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll. So I'm saying this once again, not because I'm a latch.
It's a plot point in the movie.
It is a character trait that will pay off later, I promise.
Yes.
So, yeah, so then kid murder.
This is the scene I've been waiting to talk about.
Kid on kid murder. Okay.
I am a fully grown adult.
This, I was like, ballsy.
Yes. Okay.
This came out of left field, nowhere for me.
Way out.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I really love it. Because I'm like, good job, movie.
This movie just dropped its balls right on your table.
I mean, it is just like, whack.
Okay, so I've already established I saw this movie when I was 11 years old.
It is whole hog on the table. Yeah.
My seared into my brain memory of this movie from the first time I saw it is that this movie has a scene where a six-year-old kid gets pushed into a pool and eaten by an alligator.
Literally fed to an alligator.
Fed to an alligator.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies.
With almost zero warning.
Zero warning. This scene is terrifying. It was terrifying to me as a kid. It's terrifying to me now.
It's awful.
It's awful. I love it, but it's this might outdo anything in Jaws. Because in Jaws, I mean, Alex Kittner in Jaws, that's.
You kind of know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. This comes out of nowhere.
And this kid sees it coming.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what.
And I feel like the kid that's up on the plank with him sees it and does it anyway. That's the worst part.
And I can't imagine this movie being shot or edited any differently to make it more terrifying, where they're pushing the kid. Already this kid's getting like bullied or whatever. This kid's already in this vulnerable, horrible place. My heart's already out for this kid.
I feel like the kid's like kind of playing along with it though.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it, but he gets that it's a game.
Yeah.
But the way the scene is shot where she turns on the pool light and the way the alligators reveal.
Oh, it is frightening.
I remember the first time I saw it, just watching it and just being like,
"Holy!" Did you see that?
Yeah, just like, no. And even when they see the light go on,
you guys couldn't see this, but my I was just recounting the shot where the lights go on and you see this giant alligator under the surface, and it actually my shoulders involuntarily did that shutter shake.
You just shuddered.
Yeah, and just thinking about it, it was that visceral. So, yeah.
And everything about, okay, so the way it's lit, the way that the pool is like cloudy and dirty and leaves are all over the pool.
Well, it's had an alligator marinating in it.
Oh, yeah.
Marinating in it.
For a day or so.
Yeah.
And I remember also the first time I saw this going like, oh, the movie's not going to do this. No, mm-hmm. This isn't happening. And then it does. This movie came out at a time in my life where watching R-rated movies wasn't like something I did on a regular basis. So I remember renting this movie going, oh, it's rated R. I don't know. It might have really terrifying stuff in it. This movie delivered.
Yeah.
I remember this is one of those movies where like I was at that age where watching an R-rated movie, I felt a little like, you know, I was grown up and I was being a little daring and like, ooh, I'm breaking the rules here. My mom doesn't know I'm watching this. Mm. And I just remember almost feeling like after this movie was over being like, I can't tell anybody I watched this. Like, cause it's
I'm going to get
in trouble.
I'm going to get found out
because it has this like, so this movie, I just remember like going, oh, so that's what happens in R-rated movies. Mm-hmm. Kids get eaten by alligators. That is how you get it. That is how you earn an R rating.
Well, I'm sure that's true. Yeah. So
the shot of it from above the water and then the shot of the kid going into the alligator's mouth, equally terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got it on right now.
Yeah.
Woo.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. So then we cut back. And he's like, now, we're going to go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty smooth.
Is this like some male fantasy scene? Like, is this how every guy wishes it would go?
This is something that happens in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
How do we
move this along for the sake of expediency?
Well, no. And it's just, I think it's like I think this is a guy fantasy, like, pickup line that they wish would work and does work in movies because movies are generally made by men.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how successful this would be in real life.
Well,
I've never had the balls to try it.
Come back to my dumpy apartment on my pull-out couch.
No, but the whole thing is like, oh, so we're going to do this, but you know, I'm not going to be able to enjoy this because all I'm going to be thinking about is, are we going to do the other thing? So I need to know now if we're going to do the other thing, and then I'll be able to enjoy the first thing.
So did they go out to dinner?
I don't know if they did, but
I think they didn't.
I don't think they did.
No,
but I think there's even a Woody Allen. I think it's Annie Hall where he's like, "I'm gonna." He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna be just worried about the kiss later," and I'm just, and she's like, and then she just like plants one on him like right at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
And then they have a great date.
Yeah.
And it's
and that would have come out before this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You said Annie Hall, right?
That
that's in? I can't keep that straight with other Woody Allen movies, but yeah.
But yeah, anyway. So, I mean, that's another kind of version of that scene.
Yeah.
But here he's talking about, Woody Allen's just talking about getting a kiss, but so he'll be like, oh, will she or won't she? And I don't know if, And then the timing's all wrong, and I lean in at the wrong time, and I'll just be nervous about it all night, and just so I'm pretty sure that's Annie Hall. I'm not. It's definitely a Woody Allen film. I can't be for sure, but he's made a movie a year, so I'm sorry if I got a different Woody conflated with Annie Hall. He's made a movie a year for 40 years, and I've seen almost all of them. So,
ooh, you got me beat. I've probably seen 20. Yeah, I'm probably pushing 20.
Yeah, I'm not saying I've seen all of them. I'm just saying I've seen most of them.
My
favorite part about it, and the reason I want to talk about it, is he goes, well, you know, I won't be able to enjoy my dinner because my metabolic rate will be all messed up. And I was like, oh, he's bringing in their investigation. And where, like, when they're talking to Slay, they're like, oh, the testosterone, like, increases metabolic rate to a bad thing. And like, so he's like secretly like,
sciencing her.
Well, no, he's sciencing her, but he's also like, that's in direct correlation to testosterone. So he's like, I'm a real man. And like, I don't know. I just thought it was clever.
Yeah.
And probably like too clever for this movie.
That's kind of everything about this movie.
No, but I don't know. I just love this movie. It's so good.
There's so much going on.
There's so much going on. And I don't know. I just love every little scene.
So Brock and his guides.
Yeah.
I want more of this.
Yes.
Did I jump ahead of you?
No, you're right there. Brock hiring black guys outside
of a liquor store.
Of a liquor store or a 7-Eleven-esque store. And then referring to them as natives. Yikes. And the fact that they don't just kick this guy's ass, I don't understand.
I guess I never registered that as inappropriate. Am I wrong? Oh, man. Now I feel like I'm not woke enough.
I find it there's
it's weird.
It's problematic.
It's probably. Yeah, I agree there.
And then the one guy asks for like, he's like $10 a day. And he's like, I get 20. He's like, oh, the local chieftain.
That's a little,
and I was like, that's where I was like, oh, okay. So I'm not wrong. This is
one of those. Yeah. I'm walking on ice here. However, I'm on thin ice. What I will say is that this scene walks a line where you watch it and you're like, oh, this is kind of uncomfortable.
I also feel like every one of these guys is out of the Cosby gang.
Yeah. True. One of them's got the hat. But
one of them actually specifically has that.
Yes. What I was going to say is that as much as I want to be like, is this offensive? Because it's like drawing these three guys in like a broad brush of stereotypes. That's definitely one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the guy who's making all these jerk things, saying all these things to him. He's the villain of the movie. Like, that's kind of what it's in character for him. To be treating, yeah, to be an a-hole to these guys.
This is a weird character. And Brock. Yeah, Brock, Colonel Brock, you know, he's like total this like White Hunter, Blackheart, you know, Hemingway, John Huston-esque, right? Kind of guy. I think it's totally in character for him to be condescending to black people.
I think I'm a little uncomfortable with the, like...
By the way, the one guy that gave us that weird review on iTunes about us being, like...
We said there weren't enough black
people in Jaws. There weren't enough black people in Jaws, and he thought that was the point of the whole podcast. I was like, wow, you did not listen to enough episodes. So he's having a field day with this.
Okay. You're assuming he's still listening. I thought if he gave us whatever 2 stars, that meant he wasn't going to tune in anymore.
So. Oh, no. He just hate listens.
Okay.
So, well, hello, sir. Yeah.
Glad to have you.
Glad to have you. Check out that PayPal.
Yeah. I am a little uncomfortable with these stereotypes, but at the same time, like, I love these three guys and I want a whole movie of Barack and these three guys where they're just dressing him down the whole time.
Yeah, it's as problematic as it is, it works really well. Like, it's funny, it's interesting.
And then we go into the post.
And then we go back into post-coitus.
Yes. Right?
And his pillow talk. Boy, that needs some work.
Yeah. Well, she even has that look on his fur face, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I do love that it goes heavy, and then it ends with her fiddling with his hair, and it ends on a light note.
It does. It goes real heavy, and then we finally find out what the deal was with his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it ends with her futzing with his hair, and he's like, and this is kind of what this is our third hair joke for the movie. Yeah, it works really nice. but yeah. Just the fact that they've just gone to Bone Zone and it's like, that was lovely, dear. Let me tell you how I failed my partner and got him killed. It's like, wow, that needs a little work, buddy. That is not nearly as smooth as your metabolic line.
Get all your skeletons out of the closet right out of the gate. That's how it works.
Yeah, I guess so, man. He's a straight shooter for sure.
Then we go to Booger Alley.
Yeah, they call it Booger Alley. What?
I love it. I don't know. It adds nothing.
Booger Alley. What the what?
Is there some reference we don't give? Was booger a common? I know I've heard the word booger before.
They call it Booger Alley. It is one of the mysteriousest lines. Mysteriousest?
Like
one of the more mysterious lines. There we go. One of the more mysterious lines in this film. They call it Booger Alley.
Like
no explanation.
You wrote it.
Yep.
The actor said it.
Yep. That got written down, and then the actor said it.
It into the movie.
And no one thought twice about it. Nope.
Not that everything needs an explanation.
It doesn't. It certainly doesn't. I like that it's called Booger Alley.
Yeah.
It's just an...
I want that line and the scene in the movie. I'm not arguing against it. It's just...
What is happening?
Yeah.
And it's just a throwaway, and it seems so important for some reason. I don't know why.
That Booger Alley thing will pay off later.
No. If by booger you mean alligator murder, I've gotten all this way without calling it a crocodile, and I just slipped. They are not the same thing.
No.
I've already talked about that.
I love the shot of Barack as he zeroes in on the garbage pile. Have you like that whole shot? It's not a Jaws shot. It's not our dolly zoom.
Yeah.
It's not quite that, but there is a clear, like they're having fun with their camera and their setups.
A bit of a perspective shift.
Yes.
And is this the scene where we get the silhouette of the snout against the wall?
That's after.
Is that after?
Yes. Okay. But it's the scene leading up to the shark lunging at Brock.
Yeah.
And if you notice, it kind of goes on.
You know, you just said shark and not alligator.
Shark? Oh, my goodness. It's almost like we're doing a Jaws podcast.
Technically, we are.
Brock getting eaten terrified me as a kid when I first saw it. The way it's like gulping him down.
Oh, and it's just this. I love you. Really get size in this shot.
Yeah. Well, you see it's the first shot of like a person in his mouth.
Yeah, where you really get the idea of how big this thing is, and it is gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him getting gulped in kind of scarred me as a kid. Still works.
It works very good.
Yeah.
I have alligator always looks good because alligators just don't move very much.
They had a much easier time shooting this movie than they had shooting Jaws. That's for sure.
Yeah. Because even when you watch alligators eat, they don't really move all that much. Like, they just kind of just chomp and chomp and chomp, and then it's done.
Well, yeah. What's not happening in this movie is where alligators bite on and roll in the water.
Yeah, there's no death roll.
Yeah.
That never happens in this
movie. He's not also not out on a big, you know, river.
Yeah. Which I believe that I didn't make up that term. I believe it's death called roll. It's called the death roll because yeah. It literally will kill something when they do it.
Like, yeah. Does it happen in the opening scene with those guys in the...
No, they bash him in the head with some bats before he can do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
There is a sequel to this movie that I've never seen. No desire to either.
Is there?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, they certainly set it up for one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's zero relationship to this movie, as far as I know, other than being called Alligator 2.
Yeah. There is a... Do you know there's an alligator that's made a year earlier than this? In 1979, starring Barbara Broccoli.
I did not know that.
It's an Italian picture.
That makes sense.
Kind of a la Orca.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I knew there was a movie called Crocodile. I have not. I think that one's also not an American production, but yeah, I haven't seen
called,
that either.
It's called Alligator, yeah. And it's they go to some. They go to some like island, and they awaken this alligator god. It sounds horrible.
That
like,
does sound horrible.
Yeah. Anyway. But Barbara Brock.
Hello.
Miss Ringo herself.
See, there it is. Alligator 1979. El Fiume de Grande Caimano.
Oh, yeah. Muy spaghetti.
alligator. Bellissimo.
Yeah. Well,
so we'll see you back here next week with more on alligator.
Yeah, and check out the PayPal, check out the Facebook, give us a like and subscribe, and tell a friend. And we'll see you next time right here on the Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.